Oh, he's still hacking.
Connecting, yeah.
Yep.
Tony, were you able to make any modifications to those?
I did make the modifications. I don't think the guys have had a chance to look at them yet, but.
Well, they got the same email. I copied them on the email. I don't know if they had a chance to look at it.
Okay. Hey, Bill.
Well, I think we're getting some background noise.
I think it's Bill.
It's Bill.
You got the TV on, maybe?
Hey, Bill.
There we go.
There we go.
Holly's not letting us see him anymore.
No, I know. He winds it off.
Let me think about where I put the notes from that. Put the notes in front of me.
Bill, you should let us see you. You know, facial expressions mean a lot to us.
I'm surprised he's not responsive.
He might have it muted.
Okay, so the changes that I sent in the email last night on the anti-fraud policy, at the bottom of page one, I wanted it to state so it's clear that the policy also applies to elected officials. We are not exempt, and I don't want that to be unclear to anyone in the future. On page 2G, I was uncertain if by securities they meant bonds, like bonds that were about to float, or security like cameras, locks.
Securities, yeah. I believe it's the latter.
Okay. So I just think that needs clarification so that it's 100% clear.
Okay.
On page 4, whether the report is made to the supervisors or the solicitor, that's inconsistent with the instructions on the prior page, which state report to the supervisor or the manager. So I think we can fix that with two things. One is to add or the solicitor to the previous page. And the other is, I think it should say, no matter to whom the initial report is made, on that page 4 section.
Okay, so on that, and that's on guidelines for handling a report?
Yes.
Okay.
On page 4.
Okay, and did we have manager on the prior page?
You had supervisors to the supervisors or manager, but you didn't have solicitor.
Yeah, that should be taken off. Manager should not be there.
Right, because we don't have a manager.
Right.
But
so where is that on page?
Actually, I think it said their manager.
Yeah.
So, for example, if it was Harvey's son, he could report it to Gary. You know, if
I'm just going to say to the board of supervisors.
Or to the assistant secretary could report it to Sean. Yeah. Right? Something like that. But we have to have it, we have to add solicitor there so that both sections are consistent.
Okay.
And I think that on that page 4, it should say, no matter to whom the initial report is made, so that it's just cleaned up.
Okay.
This is what everybody has to do if they get a report about this.
All right, we can clean that one up.
And then I think the only other one on that policy was on page 7B. I think it just needs to have a comma between suspects of, and then it goes on to say discovers.
7B. Oh.
Page 7, letter B.
Needs a comma where?
After suspects of, before discovers. It's supposed to be a list, right?
Well, I think it's supposed to read
Or instead of?
Yes, it's the key word. Yeah, it's or. Suspects or discovers fraudulent activity and fails to report it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's an or there. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I got that one. All right. So I'll have her make those tomorrow.
Okay. And then on the proper reporting, in that policy, I think where it says what is the policy? asked for a sentence to be added that not reporting work time in the appropriate timeframe is a violation of fair labor standards of and township policy of adhering to such laws.
Okay.
And then I think I might have given some specific language in that email, Tony, but
I'm going to pull this out because I think I may actually have the changes here. Maybe I can have Shahana make them and maybe have email them to you. Let's just see that. Okay, so under the recording, we added to that sentence, Rachel, not recording work time when work was done during the appropriate reporting period and for the actual time and date worked is a violation of laws regarding fair labor standards and township policy adhering to such laws.
Great. That's what I had put in the email.
Okay, so now here's the, I'm going to hand these to Shahana so she can copy these because these are the corrected versions of what you're reviewing.
Okay.
I didn't have
That's great. And then put them in front of the, do the guys have the corrected versions?
You guys she's going to make copies now. Okay. And so if you can get us three copies of those, that'd be great.
All right.
Thanks. Look. And also email Rachel a copy.
All right.
Yeah, so I put a question in that email, Gary, that I wanted to hear what you had to say as it pertained to naps. I was thinking that we might need to have an exemption for long-duration state of emergency type of events. I'm just concerned about, let's say we have a blizzard and we have snowplow drivers that are out, you know, for several days at a time, it might be appropriate for them to take a nap on their break. Then I don't want us to create a situation where it looks like they're not by policy permitted to do that. And I know you usually break them up by days versus nights so that we don't have those kinds of issues. I don't know if that's 100% guaranteed to always be the case.
Basically, that's worth.
I thought if we put a state of emergency, also, you know, if we had a situation like I'm thinking back to Riley, where we might have people out, you know, clearing trees, you know, for several days straight with limited rest. And I think I gave Tony some specific language in that email, which I copied you guys on, like, for to say. Except for in the case of a long duration state of emergency or and any such thing should take place on breaks that should be properly recorded, something like that. What do you think, Gary?
Well, basically, I try to schedule my guys no more than 12 hours. And we do have a couple pretty good reclining chairs that the guys can stretch out in the shop if they really get tired, if we have to.
Right, well, you know, my concern is if the policy says you better not be taking a nap when you're in the building. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If we had an exemption for states of emergency, if they needed to do that in that case, as long as they're properly recording the work time versus the rest time, that's cool to me, but you guys tell me what you think. I mean, I know when my dad was responsible for plowing all the roads in Gold Key in a couple of blizzard situations, they did have guys taking, you know, half-hour naps because they were plowing for 2 or 3 days straight.
Yeah.
What about taking that two-sentence language out, Rachel? Not use the example.
What do you guys think?
Well, I feel
I don't want to see anybody. Go ahead.
I feel if they're going to be here around the clock, then if they take a nap, they should at least get paid for why they're taking that little nap. You know. It ain't going to be long that they're going to take one. You're not going to sleep 4 or 5 hours out there in a chair.
There's two sentences in there, Rachel. It says, for example, if someone were to take a nap in his or her workplace, it would not project a good image. And the second sentence is that naps are not acceptable. That's taken from that anti-fraud policy that was given to me. Why don't we just remove those two and make it a non-issue?
I think it makes sense to have in there for other people or for other occasions.
Mm-hmm.
But again, going back to in a state of emergency.
Okay.
What do you think, guys? And Gary, I mean, if you're on a break, typically the way labor standards, Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, if you are working an 8-hour shift or more, you're entitled to two paid breaks plus your lunch break. And your lunch break, you wouldn't necessarily get paid for, but those two other breaks you would get paid for.
Right.
Is that correct, Tony?
Yes. How about if we said and accept in a state of emergency with using the example of snow plowing?
That would be fine with me. What do you guys think?
Well, we got one full-time guy, one 32-hour guy, and the rest guys are all part-time.
Right.
So we got to kind of make sure we take care of them because they're the guys that we rely on in the major storms.
I mean, just using snow plowing, I don't know if that's enough because if we got a truck down and they're working on it, you know, and they have to put in extra time to work on it, and even if it's an all-nighter to fix it.
Yeah.
Right, but I think what he said was...
Except in a state of emergency.
Except in a state of emergency. So in other words, if we've got a blizzard or we've got a storm like Riley... then we've got a state of emergency.
Only if it's declared.
Yeah, only if it's declared. What happens if we have a storm and the truck goes down and they stay there all night, a couple guys working on it to get it up for the next day to keep plowing?
What do you think, Tony? Would that be considered a state of emergency?
Well, why don't we say except in an emergency situation?
Instead of that word state.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Because once you say state of emergency, that's something that has to be declared. And
it's either got to be declared by the county or the state or...
Yeah. I mean, you have the authority basically to do that.
Right.
Except in an emergency. Right. It's fine with me.
Okay.
Yeah, because right now, you know, the backbone of our street department is our part-timers.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we just have the one full-time guy.
Right.
For winter, for sure.
For anything.
For anything, even for fixing anything, the roads really. During the summer.
Yeah. I mean, even my part-timers help out all summer long when they got free time. Just like the other night, you know, you asked me why I paid, what's his name?
Jake.
Mm-hmm. That's because I had two loads of salt coming. They were trying to get here before that ice storm was going to, and snowstorm was going to hit up there. And Jake volunteered to wait for him. So, I ain't doing nothing. I can't do anything, so I'll wait for the salt. So, they were... Normally, salt don't come till 6 a.m., but that was the night that they were predicting all that snow and stuff, and they come 4 hours north of here.
Yeah.
And they got hammered.
Right, well, that's why, you know, I wanted us to talk about, you know, not 100% precluding naps as occasionally being under certain circumstances appropriate. So I think we got that. Does everybody feel like we got it?
Yeah, just...
Yep.
Okay, so then under rationalizations...
Yes.
Number two...
Yes.
I think there is a word missing there. I have my notes in front of me, so I have we don't... And then I would add the word need.
Yeah, yep. You have a word missing. Yep.
Yep, I would add taxpayers deserve better.
Yep, taxpayers deserve better.
Under number three.
Yeah, we're under, what page are we on?
This the one that starts with, the section that starts with rationalizations?
Yeah, number three, go ahead.
Okay, it should be page falsifying.
Two. Falsifying time, okay. Got a good typo there.
Yeah, and then I would like, instead of saying the language that's there, I'd like us to replace that last line with, let's stick with doing the right thing.
Okay.
I don't think we have to try to categorize evil. The right thing, I think, will suffice.
Yeah.
Under number four, I think, again, there's a missing word. What options I would put in exist?
Under four.
These were all in the email, so I know Tony got the email. I don't know if you have it in front of you.
I actually don't, so that's why I'm following you along here.
Okay.
So in number four...
Yeah.
What options exist? Okay. Got it.
Under number five,
mm-hmm.
Again, I think there's a missing word. You could earn. Talking about reputation.
Yep. Got it.
I must be in the wrong thing.
Yeah, I have it.
I would add the sentence, if you're aware of falsification of time records by other employees, you have an obligation to report it.
Right.
Cheating the taxpayers is not acceptable. And not reporting that abuse is participating, comma, being complicit in their wrongdoing.
Okay, thank you.
Right. And then moving forward, I think there is a list of questions on
yes.
the next page that you're to ask yourself to identify if you should report something or not.
Yes. I didn't really like those, but that's okay.
I don't want to rely on people's personal values necessarily 100% of the time in the future. Under number two,
yeah.
I believe it's asked if it's consistent with the organization's values. And I would just add to that, and respecting the taxpayers and being accountable and transparent with them about the utilization of township resources.
Okay.
Okay, I can't find it.
Got it.
Okay. That was it for that policy for all. That's all the comments I had on that one.
Okay.
Did you guys have anything?
No, we couldn't even find it.
Oh, you didn't get to...
Yeah, I don't know where you were, though. Now you got lost.
Oh, no, you're good.
You didn't follow along with me, you mean?
Yeah. Oh.
But I've been listening.
We've been listening. We'll figure it all out.
All right. On the disbursements.
Yes.
Policy. Under number E, which is, I think, the last one.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Talking about...
I don't think I have that one here.
Items that the Secretary Treasurer could pay in between meetings.
Okay.
Or in the case of a canceled meeting.
Oh, this is the resolution. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, under number E.
Yes.
I think we should add, for items of a routine or pre-approved nature and within the approved budget adopted or modified by action of the Board of Supervisors, in advance of the payment being contemplated.
All right, and I do believe Jessica made that change today. Christina was out sick today, so I dumped it all on poor Jessica first thing this morning.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I didn't see any follow up, but I mean, I sent this at like 10 o'clock last night.
It was after lunch because I didn't get back till after lunch with you. They handed it to me and said, go through it. And I said, just send it.
Yeah. And then the credit card policy document? On page two?
Yes.
Going back to this voucher thing?
Yeah.
We're never gonna have a credit card slip that will have the chart of account number on it.
Yeah.
Like that, that's a non-thing. That's just never gonna happen.
So why don't we just say that all? Let's see.
Well, I would like to add, after the voucher, after where it says voucher or order confirmation if one is provided by the vendor.
Or order confirmation.
The credit card slips having the chart of account number. I think we're gonna have to eliminate that chart of account number.
Okay.
Gary, I mean, is there ever a time that the guys would order something and they would know what chart of account number it belonged to?
No.
Right, so I think that part is kind of a moot point.
Okay. And that's in number three.
Yeah.
On page two, that's on page two?
Number three, page two.
Okay, and then under number five, we talked about at the last meeting adding language for the Secretary Treasurer to be responsible to open a fraud claim with the credit card company in the event of charges made by an unknown party that are believed to be fraudulent, and that didn't make it in here.
Okay.
And you,
that's the revised version.
You're going to want to change that credit card slip or signed voucher in five too, right?
One for him, one for you.
Okay.
Yeah, there's five different ones.
Well, I think this
put them all together
area
before you hand them out.
Talking about that comment, Bob, would be
so we don't get them all mixed up.
Right.
I think it would be an act.
We got all these out.
That fraudulent charge.
So you put the new ones all together.
The fraud policy applies if we think it's someone, you know, fraudulently ordered something, and it would follow the normal fraud policy. But if Lord knows who compromises our credit card number, and we get a phone call, or the credit card bill shows a bunch of charges nobody recognizes, that's not something that is really going to be effective to send to the DA. It has to get reported as fraud to our credit card company.
Right.
And we need a card issued, and we have that responsibility under this policy should be directed to the Secretary Treasurer.
Yeah.
All right, but I'm talking about in the middle where it says any transactions that appear on the statements that are not documented with a credit card slip or signed voucher. It should just say credit card invoice. Or
credit card invoice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Sue.
Does a credit card have an invoice?
Yeah, when you order something, it does.
When you're documenting your credit card charges, you're documenting them with receipts or order confirmations, right?
Yeah, because if you're getting stuff from Amazon,
right,
all you're going to get on your Amazon card is the textual nature of your order. There's no description of it. So it's the order number or the time it was delivered.
That's where you need that order confirmation to have that.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And then the other thing that I asked about, we're having problems with Amazon particularly.
Okay.
Sending things back because of our PO box. Because they don't tell us, they hand it off to the post office.
They do.
The post office says, well, you have a PO box, this didn't go to your proper address, and then they return it.
Right.
So things are ending up getting ordered to be delivered to addresses that are not the municipal facility, and so I think I gave you a sentence there for that I think should be added to the policy, that if items are shipped to other than the municipal facilities, a second person, they should be brought to the municipal facilities at the next business day, and they should be viewed and acknowledged by a second person so that we're sure that whatever was ordered actually arrived at the municipality.
That's actually number seven, which I added to the policy.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, it says when the Township Board of Supervisors and or employees have items shipped to their home due to post office issues or any other alternate location, The items should, items should be brought to the township no later than next business day, and receipt of those items at the municipal facility should be verified by a second unrelated party.
Right, I don't know that we need the supervisor's home specifically tagged there. Any non-municipal location would, I think, would suffice, period, but, and I see that Bill has his hand up.
How do you see that?
Oh, he has his hand up on the screen.
It was on the screen.
Yeah, I see it now.
Yep.
I was gonna say, he turned his camera off.
Yeah, Bill.
Hey, I got another very important meeting to go to, because I wanna see how people are getting all nervous about more trucks in the borough. But anyway, the quick question I had was pertaining to the website. I just wanna mention this. Is there any way to have a search function with the website and any documents on the website? I tried to look up something in the zoning, and I read through it, and it's a nightmare when you're looking for something specific. Just something to think about.
There is supposed to be a search button on the website, and it is supposed to do exactly that. That was part of the point of us getting it. Let me see if I can.
All right, I didn't know that, and I don't go on it every day, so I mean, I just missed that function.
If you scroll, if you're on the homepage and you scroll down, underneath the code red, it says search minutes, agendas, ordinances, and you should be able to type in whatever subject.
Okay.
And it should pull whatever covers that. So I'm gonna try it right now. I'm gonna type in pool. And it says, we didn't find what you're looking for, try a new search. So, although it pulled a document for me, it pulled accessory uses from the zoning. So okay. It is functioning, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
So Rachel, back to this. I just, Shahana made copies, and she did give them to Gary and Bob. I'll have...
I scanned it to her.
Yeah, and you, it's been scanned to you. So maybe what we can do is, if you guys, at your leisure, look over the changes, and any other changes that you want to make, just detail them to me, and I'll be happy to have them ready for our next meeting.
That's fine with me.
That's what I want to do.
I think it's important that we get it right.
Yep. Understood. Yep, that'll be perfect. And Bob just left because it's 2 minutes to 7.
Aye.